Every time I have gone to do my business this last week, I've just been like, Kyle. Sup with the sup playful banter podcast listeners. Back with you one more time with Kyle. I'm Robbie. Kyle, give him a noise that tells him how you're feeling.
Rakatapakaching!
Wow. That is true excitement, I think. Good. I'm glad that you were able to pull that off on the spot there. Kyle, now using your words, tell the people how you're living.
I was going to say, you kind of backed yourself into a corner there.
It's much easier to incorrectly analyze your words than your sound effects.
You know, the loop on the top of the flagpole that holds the rope?
Yeah.
That's how I'm feeling.
So the part of the flagpole that the rope gets fed through?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you view yourself, at least, as an integral part of the operation that oftentimes people forget about. But once you're gone, people realize that they can't do, the whole thing falls apart. They can't do what they need to do without you. But when people think about the machine or the big picture, you're not in it. But you know, and people that really understand flagpoles know that without you, it's just another stupid pole. You are what makes it a flagpole. You and the flag. But there is no flag without you. Otherwise, you're stuck just tying a flag to a stick.
Doable. Just not ideal.
Am I right? Did I nail it?
I'd say you're 70% there.
Hey, that's better than usual. That's not bad. When you say those things, do you even know what I would have to say to be 100% correct?
Of course I know what you would have to say. You think I'm just saying random stuff here? I would never do that to the people. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm figuring things out. The sun is shining upon us. I can't decide if good weather during quarantine is actually better or worse.
I think it's better. Having gone through both, I feel better with the good weather.
It does. I just wish that I had a better way of working outside during it. I haven't fully experimented with it, but, you know, I do sit by a window, which is better than in my normal place of work. Like, I can see outside, which is nice. It does buoy me, but it does also make it hard to not be out there in the nice
weather.
I've been
doing calls and meetings outside has been my strategy.
Smart.
Got a little camp chair, set my laptop up, calls and meetings I gotta do there in the backyard.
Yeah, I might go out there tomorrow and see how the Wi-Fi does out there. I don't see why it would be hugely different, but you never know. But yeah, I don't know. We're adjusting. Lots of communicating having to happen. Lots of confusion. Lots of different plans getting developed and then getting thrown in the garbage and all kinds of things, you know. But mm-hmm. I think that's what a lot of people are dealing with right now. So that's, I'm just really hoping like 2 weeks from now, maybe I'm in a nice groove. And I kind of understand. I get more into a daily routine.
I think that's definitely possible because right now you're in the throes of the chaos.
Yeah. It feels like it's the first few weeks of school where you have to do all this build up groundwork. And then once things are in place, you can kind of just go with the flow. But, you know, and so, yeah, I'm hoping. I have hopes, but, you know, it's also sad.
It's good to have hopes.
It was officially announced I won't be seeing my students again. Like, you know, in school this year, which is a real bummer.
Mm-hmm.
So
that is sad, especially for like the seniors.
I know we're already brainstorming ways that we might be able to do some kind of senior recognition thing, you know, to give them something. Mm-hmm. It obviously won't compare to a real graduation ceremony and all that. you know, because there's a lot more than graduation that goes into that too. There's the grad party, there's like senior breakfast, you know, the senior prank, like, you know, all those other fun parts of being a senior, that those last couple weeks of school. We got to try and find a way to preserve those, whether they're, you know, we've talked about doing a parade, you know, like just having people in their cars or something, or, you know.
Did you guys do a senior prank when you were seniors?
You know, when we were seniors, we didn't do senior pranks, but during our big rivalry football game week, that's when the pranks happened, and we pranked the rival school, not our own school. And so we never actually pranked our own school at the end of the year. I know that we went around and not we, I did not participate in this, but I know that my school went over to the rival school and, it was stupid. I think that because the year before we had won the football championship for like our part of the state and they kind of sucked at football. And so I think we went around and like put pictures of our rings all over their campus or something. I don't know. Which I guess, you know, made more sense because it was a football rivalry week type of thing. But what they did was they got some junker car and you put it in front of our parking lot entrance so that nobody could get into the parking lot. And they wrote like, you know, the name of our high school sucks and whatever.
That's a good one.
It was good. However, we had some dude with a really jacked up truck that he did not care about at all with giant tires. And he literally rammed the thing and people went crazy. And so it actually pumped us up for the game more to watch to watch this dude in his jacked up truck just ram this car out of the way. It was kind of the most exciting part of the whole thing. So
that is funny.
Yeah. So yes, their idea was much better, but I think that
didn't count on the guy with nothing to lose in a big truck.
Exactly. I don't know who bought him that truck or how they have felt about that, but it was hilarious from our perspective.
Yeah.
You know who would have been a great prankster if she had had the means and probably would have had a big jacked up truck too?
You think she would have had a big jacked up truck?
I think she could have made one if she wanted to, because she's that smart. We're talking, of course, Kyle, about Ada Lovelace.
Of course. I don't know anybody who was listening that would not have gotten that.
Yeah, it was a pretty telegraphed direction that we were going with that segue. I'm glad that people are playing along at home. But for those that are not up on the wonderful women of the world in history, Ada Lovelace is considered by many to be the first computer programmer. Kyle's now being joined by our co-host, Riley the dog. Yep. Riley chose this time very carefully because Riley's a big fan.
She's a big supporter of the Women of the Week segment, so she wanted to join.
Yep. Maybe at one point we will have Pooch of the Week.
That'd be a bold move, but we could do it.
Well, I mean, we don't have to talk about it on the podcast, but we could post them on Instagram or something.
That's true. I did download the Instagram app onto my phone. Haven't used it yet, but I've downloaded it. Step one.
You know, Kyle, this is new information to me because you've been in charge of the Instagram for a long time. And the fact that you are now telling me that you've just downloaded the app does not inspire a lot of confidence. Granted, you're moving in the right direction, but I'm kind of mad about the previous year when you're supposedly in charge of this.
No, we're moving in the right direction. That's all you need to know. Progress.
Speaking of progress, that's right. It's a double segue back to Ada. So she was a top-notch mathematician. Also, for the Poet Laureate fans out there, she is the daughter of Lord Byron, renowned poet laureate from back in the day. And in fact, she's actually the only legitimate child of Lord Byron. Ooh. And his wife. He had a bunch of other kids, but they were all out of wedlock. So we don't speak of them. Yes, just like in Game of Thrones. They're just dirt. Total dirt. But anyway, so Ada...
We value all people here at the Playful Banter Podcast.
Yep, and she didn't actually know Lord Byron. He took off. He actually seems like a real D-bag. Good with the pen, but seems like a real D-bag. Lots of illegitimate children.
And then he has one real one and just...
bounces. Yeah.
Leaves.
And then he... and so he bounced. He wasn't around, but she did actually, you know, she was interested in him, at least. She read all of his stuff. She was very smart. Had a specific proficiency when it came to math. So she became a mathematician and started working with Charles Babbage. Of course, Kyle, Charles Babbage is, you know who Charles Babbage is, right? Go ahead and tell us about Charles.
Oh, yeah, good old Chucky B. He was a lawyer, and then he got bored of the law, and he turned to some sort of science operation. And he was really on the forefront of technology at the time. The Industrial Revolution was happening. And so he's like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to figure out a way to automate this. And so that was Chucky B's big plan.
Is that actually true?
No idea.
Okay. I was trying to trap you, but I appreciate it with so much confidence and gusto that you delivered that information. We could have rolled right through that. But I wanted to see if you actually knew who he was by... Anyway, Charles Babbage is considered by many to be the father of computers because he wanted to use it specifically for math computation purposes, though. And so he was the one who came up with this idea of being able to enter very complex sequences of numbers and being able to crunch the numbers, basically. But it was actually Ada who worked with him and helped him build this machine and program it that decided that it could be used for much more than just math computations. And so she started developing these different things that computers could do that went beyond just simple calculations. And so for that reason, she's actually considered to be one of the most influential women in history because obviously now computers drive so much of our world. And she was
wouldn't be doing this podcast if it wasn't for her.
That's right. And you wouldn't be listening to it neither. And she is the first person credited with really having the idea of the computer being what it kind of has been shaped into being now. Without her, maybe we just have these machines that do math for us, but nothing else. And so shout out to you, Ada Lovelace, Countess of Lovelace. Yeah, that's right. She became a countess as well.
That's baller.
Yep, absolutely. She knew how to work the system, right? She had brains. She had power. She knew Charles Dickens, apparently. So those are your big three things that you want in life in
England. Fame, power, and Chucky D.
Chucky D and Chucky B. Lots of Charleses back then. I guess still a bunch of Charleses now. Anyway, Ada Lovelace, ladies and gentlemen, that's our Woman of the Week this week.
Woohoo! That was my sound of Ada.
You know, you're go ahead and segue us, Kyle. I'm tired of always being the segwayer.
The segwayer? You don't like to ride on the segways? Have you ever ridden on a segway before?
I've never ridden on a segway. How does riding on a segway compare with riding on like a Lime scooter?
More difficult.
Really?
Yeah. At first, and then it kind of just becomes second nature. But when you first get on it, it's kind of disorienting because the machine kind of does the work for you and you're not used to that.
Interesting.
Like it does the balancing for you.
Yeah.
But once you get used to that, then it's easy.
You know.
It's less of a... It's less of a challenge than your challenge of the week.
Well done.
Was to avoid bringing screens into the restroom with you when you did your business. And so I'm very curious to hear how this went for you over the course of the last week.
I'm so proud of you right now, Kyle, because I gave up on you and I started to segue it myself.
I know. I was like, hey, give me a chance here.
You set it up. You did nice. I expect you to get there a little faster than you did, but you got there and I'm proud of you. Yes, my challenge for the last week was to not take any screens whatsoever into the bathroom with me. And for the most part, I've been okay. Every time I have gone to do my business this last week, I've just been like, Kyle, I just get mad at you. It's now a reaction. Every time I sit on the toilet, I curse you. So I'm hoping that can stop now. There was only one time that I went into, it was at the end of the day and I was very tired and I went into autopilot and then didn't realize that I had taken my screen in until my muse had knocked on the door and been like, you have a screen in there? Because she's certainly aware that. And I was like, oh, crap.
Appreciate her policing.
Yes. So she has been on top of it. That is the only time.
What screen did you have?
I took an iPad in there to have a show going. Because sometimes I take the iPad in and I like have a I'll have like the office on in the background when I go like take a shower and like go through my whole routine, you know, kind of in the mornings. Now that mornings is actually not happening at 6 a.m. while someone else is sleeping. So I think I was kind of doing that and I just forgot and I did get busted. But that was the only time that I've taken the screen into the bathroom. I have noticed that I go less frequently.
Wow, less frequently. See, I didn't see that coming. I thought the shorter duration. I didn't think less frequently.
Well, yeah, definitely shorter duration for sure. I do kind of think a little bit less frequently, though. So, like, I don't know. Maybe I use that as a place where I know that I can just go and watch a show quietly.
Yeah.
So it definitely it hasn't been a fun week. I go in there. I have taken a book in with me a few times. I've also taken a notepad to do some work in there with me. Sometimes I planned a blog in there. Yeah. I did post a Tiger King 10 takeaways from Tiger King. On playfulbanter.org. Make sure you check that out. It's also posted to our social media channels. So I tried to be kind of productive, but I definitely missed it. I definitely missed my... I've played much less Matchington Mansion than my output is much lower. That's my Matchington Mansion time. I haven't Duolingoed at all in the last week. So, yeah, it's been a struggle. I haven't enjoyed it, but I do fear that you have set a precedent now, because now my muse knows how long it takes me when when I focus on doing my business, and so if I extend much longer than that, she's going to be like, you can't do that.
Has there been any positives for the experience for you? Any key good takeaways, or just all negative?
All negative. No, I know what you wanted to have happen. Like, I would use that as a moment of zen and, like, you know, just to like meditate or collect my thoughts. And I just I haven't gotten there. I just haven't.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just in there and I feel like I should be doing something. I think I haven't broken that cycle of, hey, this is a time when I should be like, you know, learning what's going on in the world, or, you know, connecting with those people that I forgot to connect with, or reading my emails and whatever. And so, I don't know, maybe if it was like a month, I might get to the point where I like start to use that time as meditation. But no, this week was pretty much all just I'm mad
just,
that
just
I don't.
Just not good.
Yeah. I felt like I was
lots being, of withdrawals.
I was being punished. You probably wouldn't have any problem with that, huh?
With not taking my phone into the bathroom?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I wouldn't have a problem. I do it all the time.
Do you sometimes take your phone into the bathroom?
I do sometimes take it. Recently, I've been listening to the Ready Player One audiobook in the
bathroom. Yeah. That's an interesting use of time.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, one thing I was doing when I was in the bathroom without a screen is thinking about how can I get Kyle back for making me do this. Yes, I was plotting revenge. That was the best use of time I could come up with. And I kind of just wanted to follow your same formula of take something away that you love, that you value and cherish. The problem is that you don't have many things in your life that you can't part with. Like, you are not nearly as attached to things as I am. You're attached to your fiance, but I'm pretty sure if I took her away, took you away from her, she would abandon social distancing long enough to beat my face in, and then that wouldn't work out for me either. So I'm sitting there, I was like, what does Kyle love the most? I felt very villainous, you know, like I was plotting to, you know, like I'm in some kind of movie. Mm-hmm. But one idea that I did have is that I want you for 1 week, we're going to keep these 1 week, for 1 week, you are not allowed to have any breakfast food items whatsoever at any point during the day for 1 week.
Wow.
Yep. And I know you. So I know you like your waffles at all times of the day.
What am I supposed to have for breakfast?
That's, you got to have leftover dinner, or you got to have, you know, make a lunch or something. But, you know, you can't have any, you can't have eggs. You can have stuff with eggs in it, but, you know, you can't have eggs. You can't have waffles. You can't have bacon, you know, buy it, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we know what breakfast food is and what isn't.
What about toast?
No.
No toast.
If you're going to have toast, you have to put something on it you normally wouldn't have at breakfast time. You got to put some, like, roast beef on there.
Okay.
Some lasagna. No straight toast. So... yeah, that's my effort to try and take something away from you that you love, because I know that you love your breakfast food. So no donuts, since I know you consider those a breakfast food. No donuts, no pastries, no bacon, no eggs, no waffles, pancake syrup, none of it. 1 week.
All right. I accept this challenge. It'll be interesting. I'm not going to like it. I'm trying to think of what positives I would get out of it. I'm not sure there is.
I didn't care about positives. I know that you had positives in mind for mine, but since I didn't get any, I didn't feel compelled to come up with any.
No, that's fine. I'm just, as somebody who tries to look at silver linings, I'm trying to see what I can get out of this.
You can be more creative with your culinary tricks.
Tricks, yeah. Maybe I'll come up with something. So we'll report back next week, but I accept your challenge and we'll see how it goes.
I'm excited. I can't wait to get a text from you at like 7:30 one morning and be like, God damn, I really want some bacon right now and I can't have it and I just won't care.
I am glad that we just finished our bacon today, so I just won't get more bacon and then that won't be a problem.
I'm wondering if you're, well, I guess you don't have the problem of like eating most meals with your... not that it's usually a problem to eat meals with your fiance, but you guys are on different schedules, and so it's not like you're regularly, she's making breakfast or you're making breakfast and she relies on you for breakfast, and that's going to change everything. It's really just a problem that affects you.
Yeah, I mean, on the weekends, usually I will make breakfast, and I will probably still make her breakfast. I just won't be able to eat whatever I make.
Yeah, you can make her bacon and eggs or pancakes or something, and then you just have to have like a Cobb salad. Or a turkey sandwich or something.
Yeah.
Put something in a panini press. It just can't be a breakfast panini. I'll allow you to continue to put your hard... I know you like to put hard-boiled eggs in your panini press. You can do that, but it can't just be an egg sandwich. Mm-hmm. It's got to... can't be a breakfast sandwich. Yep.
That's fair. All right. I'm in. I will be using the panini press a lot.
I also thought that maybe... this one wouldn't have worked for mine, but maybe we start posting updates on the... on the social medias about how our ongoing challenges are going. Or maybe we do quick, like, little videos that we edit together so that we can be like, here is my week-long challenge, and people can see that.
Well, now that I've downloaded Instagram, I can definitely do some stories about it.
Yep. So, yeah, it'd be good. It wouldn't have really worked for mine because I would have to do it after the fact, being like, hey, I just got back to my phone. I missed it a lot.
I mean, that would have been kind of funny, but I could see why you wouldn't want to do it.
You know another thing that I don't want to deal with.
Suck it to me.
We're doing Robbie's rants before we take a break, because people make me mad sometimes, and it's just nice to be able to have a platform to rant, Kyle. And I don't know how you would feel about this or not. It didn't used to bother me, but it bothers me now as I get more curmudgeon-y. And I am curmudgeoning fast.
I've noticed.
Have you? I am definitely a curmudgeon, for sure. I'm an old man in many ways, and those ways are expanding daily, it seems like. So one thing that annoys me now more than it used to is when people are hiking or walking around and they're playing music through a Bluetooth speaker for everybody around them to hear. Mm-hmm. This one actually has bothered me. It didn't used to bother me when like walking around the neighborhood or whatever. It used to bother me on hikes because I'm like, I'm out here, I'm with nature, I'm either by myself or I'm with friends or whatever. I don't want to hear your music while I'm out here in nature. Like, I feel like that's just, you know, like if you want to have headphones in, that's fine, but you shouldn't be affecting my experience in nature with your music. For some reason, it has really started to bother me. We were walking into the grocery store the other day, and somebody was walking into the grocery store playing music out of a Bluetooth speaker. I'm like, there's no reason for you to be playing music out loud going into a grocery store. There's built-in crappy music in grocery stores. I don't need to hear yours, too. But this is something that bothers me now.
I am always interested in grocery store music. But I don't know. Yeah, I don't get those people. Like, there's not... If it's just for you, then put in headphones.
Right. It's like they want to broadcast it to other people.
Yeah, and if it's not for you, then who do you think you are that you should choose what everybody else listens to?
Do they think that they're enhancing my hiking experience by having me listen to them, their music? Because you don't know what other kinds of music people like. Like, you know, the idea of having a soundtrack to your hike does sound kind of epic, but it's really not, you know, especially if it's other people's music.
Exactly. If I wanted a soundtrack to my hike, I would pop my headphones in and I would go for a hike.
Yeah.
Easy. We have a solution to this problem. People just need to actually utilize it.
Right. And I get, like, if you're hiking with a group of people, that might be a case where you're tempted to use a Bluetooth speaker so that you all can listen to your music while you're hiking, but you're still not the only ones out there. Yeah. And it doesn't seem very conscientious. Like, it just seems like, you know, it's a kind of you're the center of the universe decision, and your hiking experience is more important than mine, and I don't really want to listen to your music, you know, while I'm out here. You know, sometimes we all know how attached to technology I am. Sometimes when I'm hiking is the only time I'm not on technology, and I don't want to be consuming media right now. And especially
except for when you're Pokemon going during a hike.
Well, and even that is just going in my closet, you know, in my pocket. So, yeah. So I don't think that I should have to deal with your music when I'm, especially around nature. It's like, you know, and then elsewhere too. It's just, headphones are cheap. Headphones are accessible. They're easy. They oftentimes come with your phone and stuff. If you can afford a Bluetooth speaker, you can afford some headphones. I just don't oftentimes see why you would be more tempted to do that than to have your headphones in.
Yeah, I think that is fair. I've noticed in my biking to and from work, there's a lot of bicyclists that have that on their bike, which I think is less of a problem. I think it's probably safer to have a Bluetooth speaker than to have headphones in when you're biking. And you're usually not next to somebody for as long, unless you're biking next to them.
I've thought about that too. And even when you're hiking, you know, it's good to have an ear clear, but you can still have one headphone in, you know, so that you can hear what's going on around you. Like, I get you don't want noise-canceling headphones. You know, some people don't even like to run in those or whatever because you want to be aware of your surroundings. So just have one ear in, you know? It's not that big of a deal. It bugs me. It rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah, I think that's a fair snicket. As somebody who lives their life trying to minimize the negative effect on other people, I do not sympathize with people who broadcast their music.
Yeah, but it also seems like something that's so small and trivial, like I would be a real jerk if I brought that up to someone and been like, hey, can you turn your Bluetooth speaker off so that I don't have to listen to it?
That's also true. I feel like that would not be a cool move of you.
Yeah, which is why I've never done it. But, you know, sometimes I'm just like, ugh, Whenever those people are around us in, you know, when we're hiking, I'm just like, we got to get away from this person. You know, it's like you don't want to be stuck behind those people and you don't want to be caught by those people either. Just, it's not the experience that I want when I'm out in nature or even in the regular world. It's really dumb if people are ever doing it inside a building. That seems really stupid to me.
Yeah, I'd say that's fair.
Anyway, Kyle, let's let the people have a break. When we come back, we're going to do a little bit of food, would you rather? And we've got a substantial mail time. That might have been jarring for people to hear. That was kind of squealy.
I fade it.
Yeah.
I know how to edit these things.
That might really be disturbing to people who are listening to this podcast out loud through the Bluetooth speakers in nature of someone else who's walking around.
Which is the only sanctioned use of Bluetooth speakers in public.
That's a very good point. There is the caveat that if you're playing the Playful Banter podcast through your Bluetooth speaker for all to hear, there's no problem with that. That is not a snicket of mine. You will be applauded as a hero. The other heroes of this podcast are the people who have answered the call and who have emailed in their questions, concerns, needs for advice. We are here for them. And so we've got quite a few today, Kyle. I can't remember last time we've had four. We've had four different people. We're going to have four different emailers.
This may be a record number of emails for one episode. And I think we just got to keep it coming. I don't think we can rest on our laurels.
Don't stop. Don't ever stop. You got to bring the noise every week.
More pity emails, please.
Even if you take exception to what we say in this podcast, let us know. We'll read it out. I'm sure that people will sympathize with you and totally agree. We don't know what we're doing. It's probably terrible. Anyway, number one, our first email, which was sent very promptly last week, is titled Distance Learning. Dear Gnomes and One Pig, I am a teacher embarking on the journey of distance learning. One thing I am quickly learning, I can't do this alone. School is full of enrichment. Full was in all caps. So really emphasized. Full of enrichment. We've got field trips, hands-on labs, assemblies, guest speakers, small groups, large groups, one-on-one learning time. Online school is boring and isolating. I'm trying to find ways to bring guests into my virtual classroom. Maybe I can host career days by video conferencing where we interview people in different fields of work to learn what they do. Maybe someone can show off their talent to my student. Parentheses, my dad turns bowls on a lathe. Bet they've never seen that before. Perhaps someone knows how to bake and wants to show off their favorite recipe. If I were to video call each of you, what would you talk to my students about? Or what could you show them? Is there something you are an expert in that fifth graders might want to know? They all want to be YouTube stars, so I'm sure you could at least give them some tips there with all of your fame. Can you blast this to your listeners and collect volunteers for me? Sincerely, desperate teacher. Kyle, what wisdom would you impart on the youths?
This is one of those situations where I wish I would have pre-read the email so I had a good answer for this question. But I do think that my wisdom has to do with the fact that everyone's going to die.
Kyle, oh my God, you can't be morbid with children. They have so much life to live.
They're going to learn it sometime. They may as well learn it now. No, I honestly, this is a great question that I should have an answer to. Just in my general life of like, what am I an expert in? And I really don't know.
I think that we could use our experience as voices of the people and entertainers to show them how to make connections and how to entertain. It's like a guide to be cool.
A guide to be cool.
Yeah, just like, guys, crash course, here's how you're going to be cool. One, get really good at Simon Says, and then we play Simon Says, and I make them all look like fools. Be like, see how stupid you feel now? Never feel this again. Get better. And then you're going to jump in there and be really motivational and not morbid. It's amazing that whenever you get put into a position where you don't know what to say, you go right to, we're all going to die someday. Like, that is how your brain jumps so quickly. So we're definitely going to avoid that. But I feel like the gift of being able to entertain others and make connections with others, we could find a lot of cool, fun, enriching ways to teach that lesson, I think. You've been a DJ, Kyle. Kids want to be DJs. You don't have to tell them that you just hit play on a Mac.
It's an iPad.
Oh, even better. We don't have to tell them all the lame stuff about us. We can really pump up the things that at least on paper sound cool. You work in sports. Basically teach them, tell them to dunk.
Tell them to dunk? Yeah. Jump higher, kids. I feel like if we were doing that together, then we could definitely do that. I feel like if I was doing that on my own, I wouldn't be as good at that.
The trick, if we did, we're definitely a team. Because if I split up, I would have to do something like I'm a teacher. They know what teachers do all the time. I don't, you know, and honestly, their teacher is better than me. So I don't want to compare myself to that and be a worse version of what they see every day.
You're a high school teacher. That's a different world for them.
That's true. I could just bring in some high schoolers to tell them how to be cool in high school. I really think this idea of teaching them how to be cool is awesome, because then you could also teach them how to be nice at the same time and not be a jerk and say that that's the cool thing to do, but do it in a non, like, stupid way, like, you know, some of those other organizations do it that kids are just rolling their eyes at, like, oh God, okay, fine, I won't do drugs. But
so you feel like the answer is to teach them how to be cool in a nice way and not that teach them that being cool isn't really all that important.
I think that it's important to be cool in a nice way. I'm teaching. I'm a swagger coach. That's what I'm going to be. I'm going to be a swagger coach.
Okay. I would like to see you be a swagger coach. I would be interested in that.
I'd be a really good swagger coach, I think.
You would be something.
Thanks, buddy. That's nice. It's better than, hey, kids, we're all going to die. Let's start counting the minutes. Yeah. What would you do on your own?
I disagree.
You could talk to them about editing videos because they want to be YouTubers, and so that could be
I was thinking about that. I could do that. I could do some sort of multimedia stuff. I am fairly proficient in that kind of thing. I could talk to them about what I do working for a sports team. People are interested in the fact that it's a sports team. What I do isn't all that exciting, but I don't have to tell them that.
So I think there are
things I could talk about.
If you flew your drone and taught them how to fly a drone, they would love that.
It's hard to do over a video call, though.
Well, I mean, you know, you can take a video with your drone and then show them how to edit the video, and then they can see the end product and be like, cool, I want a drone and I want to make videos and be creative and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You could also do some music mixing. You have a lot of skills and talents that I don't have, and so you can teach them some more of the technical sides of being famous, like they want to be.
The technical sides of being famous.
Yeah. And then I'm the swagger coach. I'm the one that gives them the attitude and, you know, the spunk, and you're the one that helps them actually have it show you know, on their platforms.
With all their swagger and spunk that they have.
Exactly. What's the point of having swagger and spunk if you're just, you know, diddling around by yourself?
Hate to be diddling around.
Yeah. So that's what we have to offer. We
can definitely blast this out to all of our listeners. They can all be volunteers.
Yes. Hit us up at theplayfulbanterpodcast@gmail.com. If you were to go to an elementary school career day, what would you teach the kids? Maybe not even a career day. It's just like, you know, if you were a guest lecturer at a school, what would you teach the kids? What would you teach the youths? We want to hear from you, theplayfulbanterpodcast@gmail.com. Hit us back. We'll read out your responses on our next show.
I like it.
Male numero dos.
Male numero dos is titled Checking In. It says, sorry guys, my hands are literally full with a baby right now, so I can't say much, but I can say thanks for podcasting safely. And did you see that Frankie Muniz got engaged / married recently? 2 question marks. Please do a deep dive on his significant other for us. Bye. Chessa haka paka paka chu paka ti tapu.
Okay, so as we speak, I am looking up Frankie Muniz's wife. I'm not creepy, but
well, we did know that they got engaged / married. We talked about that a couple episodes ago when evidently a fire was started at their wedding, which we think is just a symbol of how Frankie Muniz's life is going to go up in flames. Congratulations, Chesapeake Hika Pukawik Chapu, on the new baby, although both Robbie and I are furious that it is not named after either of us. That was a real missed opportunity that you just threw out the window for the third straight time, and we will not forget it.
You better have another kid. You're not done. Yeah. Sorry, I hope you weren't thinking that you were done.
And yes, you're welcome for podcasting safely. We are being very good at socially distancing, and you should too.
Okay, so I've done a little research. Cheatsheet.com has done a little bit of a write-up on Paige here. First impressions, as I scroll through the page on Paige, hey, she is far too pretty for Frankie Muniz. Mm-hmm. She apparently is a former model. She started her modeling career at 18. She's a very popular person on Instagram and a regular poster there. The two are now currently owners of an olive oil and vinegars company.
They would be.
That's how they fill their time now, which actually makes a little bit of sense because I did see a tweet from Frankie Muniz today. It's like, how am I supposed to package all this olive oil during a shutdown? And I was like, what the hell are you talking about? I thought that he was just tripping or something, but apparently he actually co-owns an olive oil company.
Just overbought olive oil right before the quarantine and got screwed.
How am I supposed to ship this now? So along with modeling and the olive oil business, she's also a writer. And she seems to kind of write her details and feelings and stuff. And I don't think that she's necessarily published, but apparently it's gotten Frankie through some tough times. yeah. She's a writer. She's a journaler.
Seems like she's altogether too alive for him.
Yes. By prerequisite, the fact that she is alive alone should put her out of Frankie Muniz's league. But here we are. Yes, but you can follow her on Instagram. I'll promote her because she needs as much support as we can right now since she's married to Satan. It's POG Muniz on Instagram. POGMUNIZ. Do not follow Frankie, but you can go ahead and follow her if you want. Yeah. Just remember, though, hell came for them because they tried to light Frankie on fire at their wedding, which is the funniest thing I think I've ever heard. So, yep, that's your information on Paige. Chess, that's the last favor we do to you until one of your children is named after us.
Fair.
I think so.
What's our male numero tres?
Okay. Our next email is from Lynn with 2 N's and an E, which I know infuriates Kyle still.
That's too many letters.
Yep.
Although.
Go ahead. No, say your feelings. Go ahead. Go for it.
Well, it was signed random listener, so I'm not sure she wanted us to say whose name it was.
I didn't say her last name, did I? There's lots of people spell Lynn with 2 N's and an E. Anyway, message from a random listener. Dear Playful Banter, I was recently alarmed to find out that a family member considers the bathroom a place to conduct business on their phone. Do you suppose they sanitize their device before leaving the facilities? Well, random listener Lynn with two N's and an E. I can't speak, on behalf of your family member, really. But Kyle, back me up here if you think that it's true. It seems like a very regular thing now for people to take their devices into the bathroom with them.
Oh, for sure. I would say the vast majority of people our age are utilizing devices in the restroom. And I would also say that most of the usage happens prior to any sort of infectant possibility.
Yes. No, you've got stage one and then you've got stage two, and you're only handling the device during stage one. but I would also say this, even in before the days of mobile technology like we have now, it seems pretty regular watching older TV shows and movies. You would have magazines, or you would have newspapers, or you'd have these, like, all kinds of stuff to entertain yourself while on the toilet. Toilet entertainment is not a new concept. And so I would ask, if you have a magazine in there with you, do you sanitize the magazine before your next use or before you take it back out to the family room? I don't think so. So I'd feel a little personally targeted by that comment, whether it was about me or not. I don't know.
I was going to say.
but yes, I will defend the honor that people that have been consuming information on the toilet for a long time and no sanitation to sanitation. Yeah. I don't think sanitation's a different thing, isn't it?
Yeah, sanitization.
Yeah,
that's a good question.
Anyway, that doesn't happen, you know, with other things, and so I don't know why I would have to extend to the phone. But Kyle, you make a good point too, that you're not necessarily using them at the exact same time that you're. It's not necessarily a multitask activity.
It's a different kind of multitasking. But on to
with your
piece
hands.
Of mail numero quattro. It is entitled Pity Email, which is exactly what we asked for.
Absolutely.
It says, hey, all you cool cats and kittens, it's Patrick coming to you from the trailer park. Given that handshakes are conduits of the plague, we're kind of in limbo as a society of what new form of greeting we should use. What alternative form of greeting would you prefer we start using? A simulated tip of the cap? Finger guns? Something else? I think playful banter could be a trendsetter if we band together and unite around a greeting. Also, what place on Earth would you not want to physically visit, but would want to take a virtual tour of? Chernobyl would be pretty cool to see, with nature taking over and all that jazz, but I could do without the radiation exposure. With indifference, Patrick. I think this is a great idea.
I think there's a couple of great ideas here. Well done, indifferent Patrick. My first thought with the greetings, I like this idea of the greetings. Kyle, have you ever seen the dance move? Like when people are doing like a choreographed dance together, they will, they basically high five with their feet.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Like a little kick,
yep.
Shoe kick or whatever. I think that if we did something like that, that's a really swag-tastic way to greet someone. Like you just kind of walk up, you do like a couple taps with your feet, or do the part where you like hold your feet together and then you hop so that you're facing different direct, like you're switching places with them. It's hard to verbally explain this move, but it's pretty simple. I will say that this is a rather ableist greeting. There are some people that, like old people can't do this, I guess, but... it is a way, I think it's a kind of swagger way to greet someone without skin-to-skin contact.
I like that one, actually. That's pretty good. I like the idea of the tip of the cap. I don't like simulated. I feel like if you have a cap, it can be tipped. If you don't have a cap, you shouldn't simulate it.
That's already been done, though. We need new ideas.
Yeah, I don't like finger guns.
What about with the sound effects?
No.
Nope. Pew, pew, pew.
Not.
Okay.
Now, I do like the bow. I feel like that there's something that started with the bow.
Hashtag bring the bow back.
Yeah, I think it's you don't touch each other. It's a good greeting, but I do think it could be enhanced. I'm not sure how. I would have to think on it, but I think a good enhanced bow is where I'm leaning right now.
It seems like a very formal thing. Like, I wonder if you can make it more hip.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is there a cool way to bow?
Hey, swagger coach, how would you make a bow more hip?
I think you do it kind of like in a robot fashion. You know, like you go bit by bit down to a bow. No? I don't know. It's hard to explain verbally on a podcast how I would do a bow to make it look cool.
The thing about a good greeting, though, is it's got to be snappy. Handshake's quick. Your little foot thing's good because it can be pretty snappy. It's got to be quick.
A quick bow.
But
boom. Yeah. Just hit him with it. Boom.
But like some sort of extra move with a bow.
Little
kind of dabby, but not a dab.
Okay. Yeah. I like where we're going. We're trending in a hip hop direction here. I like it. All right. That was mail time.
Mail time. Wait, didn't answer a second question.
Oh, crap. You're right. What was the second question? Where do we want to go if we didn't have to actually go there?
Yeah.
Chernobyl was actually a good
comment. That was a good one. I feel like some place with like extreme climates, like Antarctica.
That was my first thought too. I want to go hang out with the penguins.
Or some place with like a lot of mosquitoes where it's beautiful, but there's a bunch of bugs that I don't want to deal with.
Yeah, I think, well, and I also think somewhere that's really dangerous, you know, kind of like with the bugs thing, like if I wanted to go hang out with a bunch of really cool animals, like go into like an African safari or something, but really get in there where the animals are, where they wouldn't let you go because you'd be like dead. I think that would be cool. Yeah, my first thought was Antarctica and go like recreate Happy Feet with the penguins, see if that's actually what they do in the most remote parts of it.
Virtually ride a polar bear.
Yeah. That's the dream. I don't know. North Korea would be cool too. You kind of brought that up last time.
Yeah.
You know, that's a good point. I'd be kind of afraid to travel there out of fear of not being able to get back. But
yeah, but if you could be a fly on the wall in a virtual tour.
Yep. Okay. We're going to buzz through this BuzzFeed quiz. Hopefully you are not listening on an empty stomach. I'm currently podcasting on an empty stomach, and this is going to be torture because we're going to do a BuzzFeed Would You Rather about foods. Kyle and I actually tend to have pretty different food tastes, and so we might go head-to-head on a few of these, and we'll see where we come out, and we'll see if we line up with the popular majority of people as well.
Yes.
Kyle, I got odds. You got evens.
All right. Start us off.
All right. Kyle, would you rather give up cheese forever or give up chocolate forever? And by the way, people, you can criticize us or BuzzFeed on our Twitter. We're looking for literally any engagement whatsoever, even if you're mean to us. So if you disagree vehemently with one of our decisions here, call us out, tag us. Yep. Facebook, Twitter, you know where to find us. Kyle, cheese or chocolate?
This one's easy for me. I would much rather give up chocolate than cheese.
Same. I would give up chocolate as well. Me love the queso.
To me, chocolate is like, it's a whatever. It's a nice add-on, but I don't ever feel like, oh man, I rarely crave chocolate. I don't even like dark chocolate very much, just milk chocolate, so.
Yeah, I like chocolate, but I definitely, you know, and it definitely makes some things better. But even in terms of desserts, chocolate's pretty far down on the list. I'm a fruity guy. 53% of people agree with us, Kyle, that we would give up chocolate and keep cheese.
Pretty close, but we were in the majority. I got a feeling we may disagree on this one. Would you rather only be able to eat ravioli or only be able to eat dumplings?
I might go dumplings.
I knew you would. I'm going ravioli easily.
It kind of depends on what's in the ravioli, I guess. But it also depends
cheese,
on
what... Is it spinach?
Yeah, okay. So cheese ravioli versus... I kind of like a dumpling.
It could be whatever.
I like a dumpling.
Yeah, well, you're wrong. 52% agree with me on the ravioli.
Still pretty close, though. Close
it was pretty close.
Okay. I think... Ooh, this is kind of weird. Okay, would you rather eat every meal with ketchup or every meal with mayo?
I think we'll agree on this one. It's got to be ketchup.
See, I do not like mayo, but there are some things that I think having ketchup on, like if it was mandatory to have this condiment with every single thing that you ate, I think that it's still ketchup. I would still rather have ketchup. There are, like, if I'm eating a turkey sandwich, though, like if I'm eating a turkey sandwich or a club sandwich, I'd be okay if there's mayo on there. I don't order it with mayo, but if it's on there, whatever. If there's ketchup on my turkey club, that pretty much ruins my turkey club, I think.
Interesting. It is a stronger flavor than mayo is.
Right. And so it's almost like, are there things that mayo can just kind of get by on? Whereas, like, some things are great with ketchup and I really don't like mayo. But I think the number of things that get ruined by ketchup might actually be higher.
Interesting point. I'm still going ketchup.
Looks like 63% of people agree that ketchup is what they would rather have with every meal instead of mayo. I agree with that. I still go ketchup, but I do think that if people actually thought about it a little bit, with the numbers,
I do see your point.
If the numbers be a little skewed.
Number four, would you rather eat pizza for breakfast every morning or eat pancakes for dinner every night?
I'm totally good with both options.
Both are pretty good options, but I am breakfast food forever and always.
I'm actually going to disagree with you. I think I would rather have pizza for breakfast than have pancakes for dinner every night.
The people agree with you on that one as well. 69% are pizza for breakfast, which is a high percentage. I thought that'd be a little bit closer.
That's higher. Well, yeah, pizza for breakfast is a pretty, that's a delicious.
It's a common thing, but I feel like breakfast for dinner is also a fairly common thing.
Yeah, but maybe it's, well, see now, if you had said Brinner instead of just pancakes, I wonder if that's, it would have changed things, because pancakes is something that's a little, you know, can turn some people off. I like me some pancakes. Kyle, next one. This is interesting. Would you rather give up sugar altogether or give up salt altogether? So this includes foods that have these ingredients in them. So if you gave up sugar, you'd have to give up cookies.
Unless it was a sugarless cookie, but that's no
true.
Good.
True, yeah. Or with salt, anything really with salt in it. So like a lot of chips, some condiments have salt in it. Yeah, crackers.
Most things that are cooked, you put salt and pepper in.
Yep. Yeah, salt's a tough one to give up too.
Yeah, this is, salt and pepper are like my two favorite food additives.
Yeah, I would rather, I'd rather give up sugar. I'd rather have sugar-free versions of things and be able to eat the salt, I guess.
I think I would too, but that's killing me because I'm a sugar guy.
Yeah. I also think it might be easier to give up sugar because of all like the Whole 30 and all that, where you have to cut out sugar. There might be more products out there that are sugar free than salt free.
That is true. And the majority of people agree with us as well. 66% would give up sugar before they give up salt.
Some of these margins are bigger than I would have thought.
Yeah. Would you rather a world without French fries or a world without onion rings?
You're not a fan of the onion rings.
Nope.
I don't mind onion rings, but I love me some French fries, so I would need a world with French fries.
What guess would you say the percentage is on this? Have you clicked on it yet?
No.
What would you guess the percentage breakdown is?
I would think it's pretty significant. I would think maybe 70, 30, or even higher.
It is 89% a world without onion rings.
Wow. 89%. So, yeah, that's out of, you know, over 270,000 people voted, only 29,000 want a world without French fries.
That's a clown question, bro.
It is a clown question. This one, not a clown question. We might debate about this one. Would you rather never eat a grilled cheese again or never eat mac and cheese again?
I'm going to say never eat a grilled cheese again.
Really?
I've gone years without eating grilled cheese and kind of forgot about it. I've never gone months without eating mac and cheese.
See, I'm the opposite. And quite honestly, I'm not super attached to either of these necessarily. I like both of them for sure, but I think that I would, if you gave me an option, which of these would I rather have, good grilled cheese or a good mac and cheese, I go with the grilled cheese.
See, I feel like I ate so many grilled cheese like freshman year of college that after that, I was just like, you know what? I think I'm good with those.
Kyle,
60% agree with me.
That's right. 60% agree that you would rather never eat a grilled cheese again than never eat mac and cheese again. I don't know. I'm a sandwich guy. You put pretty much anything between two pieces of bread, I'm going to prefer that over some most things.
Yeah. Would you rather give up bagels for a year or give up pasta for a year?
You know, I just don't have bagels on that often of a thing, I think.
I'm a big bagel guy, but there's so many alternatives to bagels. Any other kind of bread product you could put in that place and be okay. There's not really a good alternative for pasta.
Yeah.
You can try it with a vegetable noodle, but it's not the same.
Yeah, I don't like pasta as much as many other people. Like, if you honestly told me, hey, would you rather have a bagel sandwich or a bowl of pasta, I might go with the bagel sandwich. But overall, over the course of a year, I think that life would be much easier to avoid bagels than pasta.
Yeah, 87% agree they would rather give up bagels for a year.
People are pretty one-sided on these. This one's interesting. Kyle, I don't know where you're... I probably know where you're going with this one. Would you rather give up cake for a year or give up ice cream... give up cake forever or ice cream forever? Which of those could you go with forever?
Much rather give up cake forever.
Absolutely, that is the right answer. Not even
having cake at my wedding.
That's right. Ice cream is necessary in so many things. Cake, there's so many other options. 65% agree that you could give up cake forever.
Which is closer than I thought it would be, to be honest. I'm going to make a call here that 10 is our last one.
Okay.
Would you rather eat Lunchables every day for a year or eat cup of noodles every day for a year?
I might go Lunchables because there is a variety of Lunchables.
There are a variety of Lunchables. There's the pizza ones, there's the crackers and the cheese.
Yep.
I don't know what else there are, but I'm a big Lunchable fan.
Yeah.
I could probably do either of those actually just fine and not be mad about it. But I would probably prefer Lunchables. Ooh. 58% say cup of noodles.
Okay. All right. We're going to hit the break. When we come back, we're going to wrap up the show. And we're back. And so we're back.
All right, we're back.
From outer space.
Oh, you really extended that. We are back with the tweet of the week, which comes from @2gnomes1pig, courtesy of Robbie. Frankie Muniz says, fill in the blank, I can't blank. And then we say, stand you, which made me laugh when I read that.
Man, he put that thing on a tee for me, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
It was the easiest response I think I've ever given. He really set himself up for failure with that one. But
yeah, I can't believe that just was lobbed up to you. Happy 21st birthday to Lil Nas X. He is now of legal drinking age.
Oh my God, he was only 20 last year when he was all over the radio forever?
Yep.
Wow.
Happy belated birthday to Jackie Chan, who turned 66 on Tuesday. I was sad we missed an opportunity to podcast on his birthday, but still shout out.
I'm so sorry, Jackie. We'll get you next year. We'll maybe for Chris Tucker's birthday, we'll mention you as well, because you can't talk about one without the other. It's rush hour, baby. But you know who was not in rush hour, and thank God for that.
Frankie Muniz.
Yep, screw that guy. Never fear the bacon. Kyle can't eat bacon for 1 week. We'll see how he does on his challenge. Let us know if you got mad at any of our Would You Rathers, or if you need any advice or have any questions, email us. Check out the blogs on playfulbanter.org. Find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. With that, we'll see you next week.